This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
That's right, everybody. Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. We've got some of the thickest, most delicious, thickest, biggest pieces of meat. Stick it in your mouth at Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
Ted's of Beverly Hills, downtown Beverly Hills.
All right, and Ted, you're with us, and thank you for joining us, and a Happy New Year to you, pal.
Happy New Year to you, Phil, and to everybody. I just want to invite everybody, of course, to come down to Ted's whenever they can and have a great steak dinner.
Ted, although you also are with the Beverly Hills Automobile Association, an association of men who own what you call HPVs?
High-performance vehicles, that's correct.
What is a high-performance vehicle?
Well, I can tell you, for instance, a high-performance vehicle is an example of that would be a car that I purchased 2 weeks ago, as a matter of fact, a Vandaan Blanc, which is a Jaguar.
It is a Vandaan?
Vandaan Blanc. It is German, and it is a the Jaguar, of course, has a British traditional, but Vandaan Blanc is a German phrase. 370 horse, absolutely gorgeous, chrome wheels, GPS, navigational system. A very quick and very lovely automobile, and we did purchase this 2 weeks ago. Over the holidays, we had some problems, and this is one of the things I wanted to talk to your audience about. The resale value on a car, I don't lease, I buy, and the resale value on a car can be affected by the new car smell, and I'm sure you know it.
Oh, new car smell is, my wife just bought a car. New car smell is everything. People love that.
Absolutely. I'll tell you how much people love it, Phil. It is said to be worth $3,000 on the resale if it still has that new car smell. I purchased a Vandaan Blanc Jaguar, $85,000 worth of car.
Now, Ted, when you talk about...
Hold on. I want to tell you about the car. $85,000 car. My wife's sister and her son, my nephew, come over for New Year's Day, and we have dinner, and my wife suggests that Beth and her son come out and take a look at the new car. And already I'm beginning to feel that something isn't quite right, because my wife's sister is not exactly a big fan of mine. Now, I'm talking about anybody in your listening audience, Phil, who knows anything about cars. The new car smell, now, this is worth about $3,000, as I said. I don't expect anybody in your audience to know what I'm talking about when I talk about the Jaguar Vandaan Blanc 370 horse.
There may be some people out there that own one. I understand it's an expensive car, right?
It's $85,000. Now, I want you to sit back and think about that. And everybody listening to me, you think about it and ask yourself, just how many more years do you have to work before you can afford a car like that? The nephew gets in my car. I take him for a drive. I should have known better. He's a six-year-old boy, and he's just had dinner. The kid had gas.
He had gas? What, he cut a fart or something?
The kid had gas, yeah. He released gas in the car. That's $3,000 that went flying out the window. Now, before that...
Yeah, but this is a six-year-old boy.
Before you start talking to me about how old he is, I want you to know something. I realize that for it sounds silly, but the sister never liked me. The fact is, she was talking to the boy before he got...
Ted, come on.
She was talking to the boy before he got into the car. What I'm talking about, Phil, is purposeful damage to a brand-new car that I believe someone should be held responsible for.
Ted, the kid is 6 years old. What do you mean she was talking? You're telling me that the aunt, this is your sister-in-law, right?
My sister-in-law, my nephew.
What is his name?
I don't know. It's Harold or Alvin. I don't know. I forget his name.
This is your nephew?
Yes.
And you don't know his name?
We are not close to this part of the family, Phil, for a lot of reasons. She never wanted me to marry her sister, etc. I don't want to bore you or the audience with details. The fact of the matter is, I believe this was purposeful damage to a brand spanking new automobile. And what I very respectfully requested from her, that when she got back to her home, she review her finances and we could work something out financially. She is not married. This is a single-parent household. I did issue corporal punishment on this boy. I did.
Did you hit the kid?
Yes, I spanked him, yeah.
And this is not your kid and you spanked him?
Whoa, Phil.
No, hold on for a minute, Ted. You spanked somebody else's kid. You're getting into some trouble here, all right?
This is my nephew, number one, Mr. Henry. And number two, the kid willfully released gas, fart, or whatever you want to call it, into a brand spanking new car. The new car smell is worth $3,000. Now, the fact of the matter is, this is a single-parent home. The boy has no man in his life. He doesn't have proper discipline. And I issued the corporal punishment that I'm sure his father would have had his mother gotten married to a man before she had the boy.
Obviously, there is some bad blood between you and this woman.
You better believe it. And the fact of the matter is, $3,000 goes flying out the window as that kid's fart fills the inside of it. And I can tell you, Phil, because I've owned expensive cars before, when you get rid of that new car smell, especially when a six-year-old boy releases noxious egg-smelling fart...
Look it, man. You don't need to explain or describe, okay? You can.
Well, I've owned expensive cars my entire life. Now, I've told her to review her finances, and we're going to have to work something out.
Well, to get a woman who... this is a single-parent family. To get this woman to cough up $3,000 because her six-year-old boy had an accident...
I'm not buying the accident.
Well, Ted, I'm going to tell you, it verges on paranoid.
No, I'm not. It's not paranoid. She doesn't like me. She whispered something to the kid. She was rubbing his stomach. I know exactly what the...
So she said, get into the car, and when you get into Uncle Ted's car, fart, and that'll destroy the new car smell.
I don't know what she said exactly.
But that was the intent.
I believe she told the boy to do it, yeah.
And then you spanked him.
Yes, I did. Let me tell you something, Phil. This is a single mother family, a single parent family, okay?
And it... Well, there's a lot of women who only have... hold on for a minute. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Aren't we going to talk about high-performance vehicles? How did we get into this discussion with him about some kid farting in his car? Now, I know what he means by new car smell. Anybody that's ever owned a new car, you know what that is. I seriously doubt if it's worth $3,000 on the resale. And why would a guy like you, Ted, if I could just ask you, why don't you lease?
I don't like to lease. I like to own. I like to own a car for as long as I like to own it. I like to put whatever kind of interest in terms of mechanical repair or enhancement that I want into the automobile, and then I want to sell it. I'm not looking to make a lot of money, but I am looking to make fair market value. And when you destroy the new car smell...
This was a six-year-old boy who had a gas problem, who cut a fart, or whatever you want to call it, in the car.
If that was all it was, Phil, I wouldn't have a problem. That sister-in-law of mine, who never liked me, didn't want me to marry her sister, and tells her kid to get into my car and make it dirty in Uncle Ted's car, because I know that's what she said.
You know that for a fact.
I can well imagine. She tells the kid, I don't know the boy's name.
This is your nephew. Why don't you know his name?
I told you, Phil, I'm not close to the family, I'm sorry. But when she says to him, you get into Uncle Ted's car, make a naughty.
And that'll make the resale value go down the toilet.
I don't know if she said that or not.
I'm sure she didn't.
I'm going to get my money out of a car that smells like a slaughterhouse. I'm going to get my money out of a car that smells like an outhouse. I don't think so.
Well, asking a single mother to come up with $3,000 on your automobile, okay... Because
yeah, my automobile, the car that her nephew purposefully destroyed by releasing fart, okay, and ruining the new car smell.
Well, I don't know what a new car, you say it's worth $3,000?
$3,000 new car smell, absolutely. So the upshot is I'm going to turn the car back, and I hope they'll give me another one. It's only got about 1,000 miles on it. There is a lemon law in the state of California which says if you're unhappy with a car, you can get your money back. You can get a new one.
Well, that's not exactly what the lemon law says. You have to bring it back a number of times, okay?
Well, I lost $3,000 on the car. If they don't want to take the car back, then she's got to work off the $3,000 in the restaurant. I've asked her if she'll go to work. I've asked her if she will do something, either taking the kitchen slats out, scrubbing them down, put the boy to work, whatever. But $3,000, just because I happen to be a wealthy man, it's still a lot of money. And the fact of the matter remains that just because you're rich, it doesn't mean people get to take advantage of you.
Boy, do you sound angry over the fact that a little kid farted in your car.
Phillip.
Just hold on for a minute, okay? Look, I got kids, man. They're farting in my car all the time. I kissed my new car smell goodbye months, years ago. Now, I understand he's got an $85,000 car, but a little boy is going to be a little boy. He wants the mother of that kid to work off the $3,000 that he lost on resale value because the boy farted in his car and destroyed the new car smell. Now, this is a, what is it, Craig? It's a Jaguar Van Den Blah. It's a 370-horse performance package, yada, yada, yada. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Go in there and park the car. She could come to the restaurant and work it off.
This.
Hello.
Oh.
What happened to you?
I don't know. My microphone wasn't working. The thing of it is, Ted, is that you are asking a mother, a single mother, to. Is she a professional person?
Right now, she's not. Right now, she's, quote, between jobs. Phil, these are the things that I think are unusual.
What does she do for a living?
She's an actress. So that,
well, actresses and actors often don't work continuously. They're between jobs.
Point being that that's $3,000 that kid farted right out of my car. And you can make all the jokes you want, and you can think it's as funny as hell, but that is an automobile that sustained damage as the result of some kid sitting down in the bucket seats of my brand-new Van Den Blah 370-horsepower, $85,000 car, lifting up one cheek, letting it fire, and looking at me with a little look on his cute, like, hi, you know, like, isn't he a cute little nephew?
You don't even know the name of the kid, man. I doubt very seriously whether you care at all about that boy. Here is Betty.
Well, maybe I do and maybe I don't.
Here is Betty on the Phil Hendry Show. Betty, go ahead.
You know what? I think that guy's put on. He's a jackass.
I'm a jackass.
Yes, you are.
All right, Betty, you're a jackass. Nice talking to you.
Well, are you real proud of yourself? Or are you just calling in to let everybody know what you think
about? I'm calling
in car?
Because they wanted me to talk about high-performance vehicles. And, Betty, I don't know whether you know what an $85,000 car is.
Yes,
but
I do.
It's a very expensive car.
I'm sick of hearing you say that, too.
It happens to be an $85,000.
You told us already, man, okay?
That's right. And I'm saying it to press home the point that when that child got into my car and decided that he was going to do a dirty, or whatever he wants to call it.
Oh, come on.
You don't know anything about cars. Why don't you get some people
yes,
on to know something
I
about cars?
Oh, yes, I most certainly do.
Do you know what a new car smell is?
Yes, well, I do. I've had a lot of new cars.
No, it doesn't smell like patchouli oil, which is probably what you put on every morning. This is it.
All right, you know, you don't need to go there, okay? You don't need to start insulting people personally.
Well, she doesn't know what a new car smell is.
Oh, come on. How do you know?
Because I doubt very seriously whether you know what it is if you don't know what it's worth.
You got to be kidding me.
No, I'm not, Betty.
Do you think you are the only person who can afford a new car and pay a lot of money?
Of the two of us, yes. Okay?
Well, like I said, I think you're a big jackass.
Betty, you're so used to Depends, you wouldn't know what a fart...
Okay, for crying out loud.
Well, why am I supposed to sit here and talk...
You're supposed to answer the questions and talk to the people about the stuff that they want to talk about. I don't know what anybody's particular agenda may or may not be. Claudia, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted
and the
to
fact
talk
that you hit
Ted,
the kid.
And, Ted, are you there?
I'm right here.
I just wanted to say, you know, I have two kids. I drive a $40,000 vehicle, and my kids keep my car clean because I ask them to keep it clean.
Well, that's different from an $85,000 high-performance Jaguar.
It's not that big of a difference, okay? I drive
oh,
a very expensive, yeah, nice vehicle
yes,
myself.
Yes, it is a big difference.
Listen.
Yeah.
If you have a six-year-old little boy...
$40,000 car. What, do you got an Explorer or something?
No, it's
a
not
Jeep,
a Ford, okay?
Little Jeep Cherokee or something?
No, can you let
just
me
let her finish, okay?
Listen, You got a six-year-old little boy in the car. I do not believe that he passed gas in your car intentionally.
His mother, she was whispering to the boy before he got in the car, and the woman doesn't like me, all right?
He probably told him to be good
and
for
whether
you.
He did it on purpose, and whether he did it on purpose or not, it $3,000 of new car smell is now farted right out of a brand-new $85,000 car.
And you know what else I have to say about your $3,000? You are
you know
problem
what new
with
car smell is worth?
Listen,
look, everybody knows what new car smell is.
I'm the problem with today's society.
That's
that I
right.
value.
Because you're going to sue a workless mom.
Did I say I was suing?
Well, you said you're going to make her work it off. What
yes,
do you want
I am.
Her to do
in,
for you?
In my restaurant.
Yeah, in your restaurant.
Hey, two
what,
words
in the
for
back
you.
Kitchen?
Hey, Claudia, here's the first thing. Because you drive a car with a cloth interior seats.
No, excuse
you don't
me.
Know
I
what
have
leather,
all leather, a sunroof. It is a very expensive car, and it's none of your business.
Is a sunroof
but
something
you
that,
so
that your
so
brother-in-law cut
because
through the top of it with a chainsaw?
$3,000 for a car. You want to rub it in everybody's face because some kid pooed it in your car. I want to know, when you have to pass gas, do you pull over and get out and fart there and then get back in the car?
I happen to use what's called a bathroom, Claudia, and
okay.
I don't know whether
you can't
your
help
children.
It if you pass gas.
Well, wait a minute.
Tell me
yeah.
you're the only person in the world who doesn't pass gas.
This woman asked a very good question. If you've got a fart and you're sitting in your $85,000 car, what do you do?
I use a bathroom.
What if you have to burp? Is it the same thing? And how long ago
first
did
of all,
this
Claudia,
child do
first
this?
Of all, there
it's
is a
like
product...
He-
There
it's
is
not
a
like he diarrheaed in his pants.
No,
he
but
passed
he,
gas.
There is a product called Beano, and what it does is it inhibits the gas.
You don't give Beano to a six-year-old child.
Ma'am,
obviously,
I
you must be single and have no children.
Ma'am,
that's
I happen to have
you.
A wife. Yeah, of course, that's one of many stupid things you've said. I happen to have a wife and two sons.
Well,
and
you
give Beano to a six-year-old?
And obviously, you're not a very understanding father.
I would tell you this
husband.
Much. I would put a funnel in a kid's mouth and pour six bottles of Beano down his throat.
Oh, if so it, you'd rather kill your child? Is that what you're trying to say? Because you don't want him to wreck your
can I ask
precious
you a question?
Materialistic
Can I ask you a
kill?
Question? Does it make my wife bad that she willingly and voluntarily takes a Beano before she gets in the car?
Hey, that's your wife. That's not me.
Wait a minute. I got to ask you this question.
What?
Your wife takes a Beano.
As I do, yes.
Well, that's fine.
And the
Everybody
whole reason...
Everybody can take a Beano, but you're talking about a six-year-old little boy who could have had a hot dog for lunch, and it upset his stomach. It's not like he did diarrhea in your car, and the smell is in there for months. And if you think you're going to take your car back to the dealership and get a new one, you're out of your mind, because
well,
those people are going to laugh well, at
well,
you.
Well, Claudia, you're a real you're an expert on a lot of things. You know, you're an expert on new cars. You're an expert on kids farting. Well, you're probably an expert on that, because you don't care about the cloth interior Jeep Cherokee that you drive.
I do not drive a Jeep Cherokee. It is a $40,000 leather, all-limited vehicle, and it is not a Ford, and it is not a Jeep.
What kind of car is it? Just out of curiosity, what kind of car is it?
It's a Mitsubishi Montero Sport.
Oh,
limited.
Come on. Look, if you want to talk real car or rice rocket, we can talk real car, all right?
Well,
not rice
I'm
rocket.
I'm sorry that I'm not Mr. Rich
wait.
Who wants to
right.
spend $83,000 on a car, put a little fine-tuning it, and sell it for, what, $90,000 or rip somebody else off?
But, hey, rip someone else?
By the way, Jaguar ain't exactly what I call an all-American car. The British
it's
made that thing.
It's made by Ford, so don't hand me that crap.
Wait a minute. There is a sticker on my window that says Beano required before entry. You want to know why?
Yes.
And people think it's a joke. No, people think it's a joke, but it's because
so you put
I don't.
Sticker? You put a little $2 sticker on your vehicle?
You
I mean, how trashy is that?
You got an $85,000
car.
You got an $85,000 car and you're putting bumper stickers on it?
Yeah,
it's not
that's
a bumper
trashy.
Sticker. It is a sticker asking individuals that get into my car to take any gas-inhibiting medication that they've
like
got.
It is
Jesus.
A whole bunch of crap. That's what this story sounds like.
All right, well, that's fine. I did not come on this program to talk about this. Mr. Henry asked me to talk about it.
Talking about the high-performance vehicle. I want to know how fast that can car go.
370 horsepower. I can top 200 miles an hour. I can top 200 miles an hour on the Autobahn.
You're not talking about that. You're talking about a child, a little child.
Why should I talk about a car that I won't own for much longer? Because I got to dump it for about 10 grand less than I bought it for. Because some brat
farted. I guarantee if you take it to court, that if I was your sister-in-law or whatever she is, I would say, you know what, you can just take me to court over that $3,000 little
I don't think she wants to do that because I can afford a lot more lawyers than she can.
And lawyers will look at you, and you'll go to the judge, and the judge will look at you and say, you know what, you are a fool.
Oh, so in other words, nobody cares about a man's love of a high-performance vehicle?
Look, and no judge is going to want to listen to your
story, okay? No judge.
Your story,
say, okay? You know what, you're a waste of time.
Do you own a Jaguar? No. Do you own a Jaguar, Mr. Henry? No. I own a Jaguar. 370 horsepower Jaguar. This thing is a high-performance vehicle.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
And another thing.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Henry back here with Ted Bell from Ted's at Beverly Hills Steakhouse. I'm not even going to get into the whole story about the nephew farting.
Well, Phil, I don't want to be minimized, all right? I think I have a right to express my disappointment in the fact that I lost $3,000.
$3,000 on the new car smell because your nephew farted in the car. What I want to comment on, though, is that you struck this boy.
Phil, I really resent you using the word strike.
Well, did you spank him?
I spanked the boy. Yes, I did. I am the boy's uncle. I am the only male figure in that boy's life. He doesn't have a father because his mother decided she wanted to do the single parent thing, which I don't know whether or not, whether you're aware of it or not. This is what a lot of these women, many of them feminists, they think that men are dispensable. They have their single boy. They have the one kid. They go to a clinic and they have someone pump the seed into them. And the next thing you know, they're knocked up by a test tube instead of a man, and they've got a kid.
But that doesn't give you the right to hit the kid.
He farted in my car.
I don't care. He's not your kid.
I'm his uncle.
You're his uncle.
That is exactly right. That gives me the... Single mothers allow their boys to rule the household because they're afraid of them. I'm the only male figure. I'll tell you something right now. I looked at that kid, and I...
You don't even know his name, do you?
You know, Phil...
You don't even know his name, do you?
I forgot.
You forgot your nephew's name.
I looked at that kid, and I said, $85,000 car. You think you're going to take $3,000 out of my pocket, shove it up the crack of your rear end, and let gas on it? It's not going to happen. And that's when I paddled him on the rear end. He's 6 years old. I gave him three healthy swats on the butt. He didn't bruise, and he's not going to the hospital. Jesus, H.
Well.
Yeah.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Katie on the Phil Henry Show. Katie, go ahead.
You know, I am very concerned about the mentality of you, sir. I have been listening to your program now. I haven't listened to it before.
Are you talking about Mr. Henry? Or are you talking about me?
I'm talking to you. You sit here and tell people that you're driving a high-performance car for 80 plus. Okay, that's
right.
Marvelous.
$85,000.
First of all, you can't even tell us the name of this child.
Right.
Second of all, you cannot even say you
His
like
name
this.
Is
no, sir.
Robert
Hold on. We have listened to you complain and moan now for a good long time.
His name is Harold, I think.
Why don't you call
Now you have a sister-in-law that you are wanting to punish, ridicule, and publicly humiliate because she's a single mother trying to raise a son. You do not know what that woman said to her son.
First of all, yeah.
Second of all, I am in auto finance, and you telling the entire public that is listening to this that your new car smell is worth $3,000 is a bunch
on
of
a Jaguar Van Damme.
You are wanting
yes,
free service from a woman you do not like, do not care for, and
no,
want
she
to embarrass
like me.
Her because
That's
she is a single mother.
No, she doesn't
I
like
don't
me. That's
care
why
what
she had the boy get in the car.
Mothers. Quite frankly, there are a great deal of us who do one hell of a job.
Where are you calling from, ma'am? Where are you calling from, ma'am?
I am from Utah.
Well, there's no single mothers there, that's for sure.
Oh, actually, sir, I am one.
You are a single mother.
And
you're
I
not,
am.
You, when you say you're a single mother,
okay.
does that mean you and six other
mother.
Women have the same husband?
I drive an Escalade,
I know
they're not cheap. I don't have cloth interior.
A Cadillac Escalade is an expensive car, but not anywhere near the price of the Van Damme
Okay.
Blah.
Sir,
which is a 370 horse.
What you are telling the entire listening audience is that you are a jerk. You care more for money than you do people. You do not know a child's name that you would dare strike.
Can I ask you a
question?
Why during dinner did she ask the child? Can I ask you a question?
You cannot be a father figure without acting like a father.
Why during dinner did she ask this boy to have another helping of Brussels sprouts?
You would first of all know his name. You don't know his name.
You don't even know his name, Ted.
You want to embarrass this mother, who is probably working two jobs to support them and doing all that she can.
All that she can.
She could have found her.
Why is she having a kid?
Hard-working feet to your restaurant. And get free service because you claim new car smells cost $3,000.
Well, how else is
now,
she going to pay
tell
for
you
it?
What,
how
sir?
Else is she going to pay
they
for it?
They have a thing called air freshener.
No wonder they buy 15 wipes to one man in Utah. They'll never get a word edgewise.
You can get it for $2.99 at the local
East
gas
LA. Yeah, in East Los
now,
Angeles.
I'm sorry.
That's right.
Yeah. I don't
can have a crown on the dash of my car.
Well, I got to tell you this, Ted. The lady's made a lot of sense, although I haven't been able to hear her because you've been running your big fat mouth. Because
she's saying things she doesn't know anything about. She's talking about new car air freshener. Are you kidding me? That's a crown on the dash, ma'am. If perhaps I was from Guadalajara, if perhaps I was on my way down to the Orange Drive-In for the flea market on Sunday, maybe I'd consider that. I got an $85,000 Van Den
Bosch. You are telling us from your attitude. And from the way that you approach people, you first of all do not care about humankind at all, that you care more about a car than you do people, and that you
well, if you're willing to hand green tree from the rearview mirror of your
first
car,
first of all,
your
sir,
business.
You are a flea on society. You are the kind of person that thinks somebody owes them something.
Right.
I don't care how you cut them.
Until you know
nobody
what it's like
owes
to
you
Van
anything.
Van
if you are that sensitive with your car, you shouldn't let anyone in.
Thanks for your call, Katie. She was on hold a long time.
Well, you couldn't wait to get to her, could you?
Well, she had a lot of good things to say. She obviously knows the value of automobiles.
She doesn't know anything about the $3,000 new car smells. Now, that kid farted in my car, took $3,000 out of my pocket.
You don't even know that.
Phil, do you let people smoke in your car?
No, I don't smoke in my own car.
All right, then why am I supposed to let kids fart in mine? In other words, people out there don't let people smoke in their car, but when a kid willingly, with malice aforethought, and I saw the mother encouraging him for another helping of Brussels sprouts, farts into my car.
Your $85,000 Van Damme Blah.
That's right.
Which now $3,000 is off the resale.
Wait, am I talking to myself?
You were supposed to come on this program and talk about the relative value and the relative excellence of high-performance cars. Instead, you've been spending 40 minutes talking about a little kid farting in it.
All right, I tell you what, Phil. I'll call up my sister-in-law. I'll have her bring her son over to your house. He can sit in your kitchen and let him go all morning long. You go ahead. It wasn't that it was just any kind of a fart. I don't know what she's feeding this kid, but I almost threw up.
This is a segment called...
I almost threw up.
This is a segment...
The kid's eyeballs were about to pop out as he squeezed that thing out.
This is a segment about cars, and you have been talking nonstop about a kid's farts. Eleanor, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to address Mr. Bell in terms of his problem. He's obviously got a psychological problem.
Oh, I see. And you're a psychiatrist, are you? Let's see. We just heard from the auto industry.
I have never heard such ridiculous. You're the reason that women choose to be single parents.
You hate men now, too, Eleanor?
Will you let the woman finish,
you're not
okay?
You're an example of what I would call a man. You definitely have mental dysfunction going on.
I'm worth $30 million.
That doesn't make you well.
Hey, look, just because you went and saw Russell Crowe in A Beautiful Mind doesn't mean you're an expert on brain.
Your health and your mental well-being.
What did you call her?
Forget it.
I just heard you call her something. What was it?
Forget it. I'm not going to repeat it.
I didn't hear it. What
I hope
it?
You hit the dump button on it, Craig. I wouldn't repeat it, ma'am.
No, go ahead, tell her.
I'm not going to repeat it.
Don't repeat it. It's not worth it.
I said you're
But Mr. Bell, you're an example of why women choose to be single parents.
Yeah, you already said
and
that.
And I think your sister-in-law should bring charges of assault and battery against you.
I spanked a boy who has no male figure in his life. He needed it.
No.
All right.
Being a male figure doesn't mean you beat children.
Most women
feel sorry for your children, and I'm surprised that you're allowed
giving
to breathe.
Giving a child a spanking's not called a beating, but you wouldn't
I'm
know that, would you?
You're allowed to breed.
Thank you for...
Breed?
Breed. You shouldn't be breeding. You're the reason.
Look at Eleanor. The only one between us that's been spitting kids out is you, all right?
And it's all right. Thank you. You know,
Mr. Henry, you have allowed me to be on your program, to be directly victimized by these callers.
And I heard what you called that lady, by the way, okay? And I understand that we did dump it.
Oh, you did? Well, let me say it again. I think she's a...
We dumped it again.
I should...
We dumped it again. Just forget it, man. You'll never be able to get it out. Linda, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello. Linda?
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Yes, this is Linda.
Yes, ma'am.
For one, I wanted to ask this man, who told him that it was going to be $3,000 to rescent his car?
It's not rescenting. When you lose the natural new leather smell of an automobile, it devalues the car on average by about $3,000. Now, I could certainly go out and get new car smell air freshener or hang a little Christmas tree for my rearview mirror. I don't choose to do that. I don't choose to go to drive-in movies. I don't choose to go to flea markets. There's things I don't choose to do.
So it's not necessarily
flea markets.
The new
That's
car
the second
scent.
Flea market crack you made.
It's not necessarily the new car scent you're trying to replace. It's the scent of the leather that you're trying to replace.
Yes, ma'am. That is exactly correct.
Well, that does make a huge difference because when you're saying new car scent, you do understand that that is a sprayed-in scent. And it doesn't matter if you have an $85,000 car.
Where are you getting your information?
I work with car dealerships on a daily basis. The other thing is...
Wait a minute. Are you trying to tell me that they spray that in? I don't think you're doing your industry much good by saying they're spraying that in.
Yes, they do. Most people know that. And the other thing is, have you ever been a Jaguar customer before?
Well, if they spray their own scent in, that's fine. But having that kid spray his scent in, I don't accept. I pay $85,000 for them to spray their scent. I didn't pay that kid nickel one to spray his sulfur egg fart.
Okay.
Well, I understand that. But have you ever been a Jaguar customer before?
Just because you wash cars at a used car lot, man, doesn't mean you...
Okay. I got to get going. Have him come back on when he gets his brains back together again after his norepinephrine or whatever his antipsychotic medication kicks in. $3,000 on the new car smell. How does he know? Just like all those people asked. No, you don't let people smoke in your car because that'll stay in the... You know, what nobody talked about was that the smoke from a cigarette will stay in the leather, but a six-year-old kid's Brussels sprout fart is not going to permeate the leather of the car for much longer than 6 or 7 days. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show. Hey, you know what? I just had a thought. If you'd like to see our Channel 5 KTLA Los Angeles TV interview, it's on their website, the KTLA website. You can go and actually, if you enter my name and KTLA into a search engine, but it's on the website, and I watched it today. And I'm not. I usually don't really want to point up interviews that I've done, although people have said to me, you know, you got to do it more often because people can see what you look like on TV, and then much prefer to hear you on the radio, and that way you'll get more listeners on the radio because you're so frightening to look at on a television screen. So I said, oh, that makes sense. Anyway, go to the KTLA Channel 5 Los Angeles website and enter in Phil Henry, and you'll find our little, you know, the video of our interview the other morning. I say the other morning. It was a couple of weeks ago, but it was very, very enjoyable for me. Even the getting out of bed at 10 after 6 in the morning thing, just phenomenal. All right, now I do want to tell you about Vegas, but first let me say this is the Phil Henry Show. I did the voice of Ted Bell there, Ted's a Beverly Hills Steakhouse, you know, that one. And everybody that called in, they were real folks. That's what we do on our show. Now, can I tell you about Las Vegas and the Las Vegas Hilton? Can I tell you now about something that we're very thrilled to be able to offer you? The first ever Phil Henry listener party is going to be happening in where else? Las Vegas, February 22nd through the 24th. And it's going to be at the Las Vegas Hilton. And would you like to know why it's going to be at the Las Vegas Hilton? Here's why. Because the Hilton will give you VIP treatment, unlike just about any hotel I can mention in Vegas. Now, look, I'm not trying to knock the hotels of Vegas, but if you've been there, you know what the hotel experience is like. You're standing in line for an hour to get checked in. You're trying to call a concierge for an hour and a half before you get a a clear line to talk to somebody, a living, breathing, warm human being, to tell you whether you can go to hell, drop dead, get a concert ticket, get a buffet ticket, anything. I just call a concierge at some of those hotels and say, "Hi, I'm Phil. Just tell me to drop dead, will you?" "Sure, sir." And then they hang up on me, just so I know you're there. Well, not at the Las Vegas Hilton. At the Las Vegas Hilton, they will be providing VIP check-in for all of our listeners. And a package that is just phenomenal. But why go into it here? I will tell you that the night of the 22nd, we'll be broadcasting live from the Las Vegas Hilton. You will be our guests at the live broadcast. The following night, we're going to have a cocktail reception, a fantastic sit-down three-course dinner. We're going to have a band to dance to, free soft drinks, you know, a little cash bar going on, but whatever. A fabulous surprise package. And it's all going to be the 22nd through the 24th, the first ever Phil Henry listener party at the beautiful Las Vegas Hilton in where else? Las Vegas. Now, this is not some jive check-in service that you might get from some other so-called Vegas fun trip, man. You're going to be treated well. You will. And if you're not, people will die. Okay? So join me for the first ever Phil Henry Show listening party. And as I say, I could give you the specifics, but let me give you the phone number. Just call and check it out. They'll give you the whole nine yards, okay? They'll probably have somebody answering.
Phil Henry Surprise Package Listener Party, may I help you?
Yeah, can you give me the details of the thing?
Yes, sir. It includes three nights, $10. You get 10.
I don't know how it's going to be. I'm sure it'll be fine. Let me tell you something right now, my man. You go on our listener party trip, and you're going to get that shot glove and that plastic visor. Yes, sirree. Okay, anyway, 1-888-445-8844. 1-888-445-8844. Can I give you that number? 1-888-445-8844 and ask for the Phil Henry package. The dates, February 22nd through the 24th. That's a Friday, that's a Saturday, that's a Sunday. Where? The Las Vegas Hilton. Where's that? Las Vegas, gambling, women, fill in the blank, Charlie.
Well, what else is there to do?
Getting laid and gambling isn't enough for you, huh? Well, on top of all of that, our live broadcast on the 22nd, our listener cocktail party on the 23rd, it's going to be cool. And I hope that you can join us, all right? That is the 22nd through the 24th, 1-888-445-8844. Also, there is a link on our website, philhenryshow.com, that you can visit and you can check out the particulars that way, too, if you've got a computer. Just go to philhenryshow.com, click on our Las Vegas listener party link. It'll take you right to the place that you need to be to get all the information on that. And as we continue to talk about this, and we've got, what is the date today? This is the 3rd, 2nd. So that's a month and a half. And you're going to meet everybody from the show. Craig's going to be there. Chris will be there. Janice will be there. I'll be there. My wife will be there. My kids will be there. The cat will be there. The dogs will be there. The Beatles will be there. The Rolling Stones, a special appearance. Fabulous Thunderbirds, Madonna. They've all promised to be there. Maybe. The Pope. So anyway, click on, get all that information, and please do join us. We just love, and you won't hear me say this very often, we just love to see you. I'm kidding. You know that I, of course, must love meeting all you guys, especially when your handshakes are very clammy. And you're drunk. Now, oh, that'll be fun. I remember when Miami, when we did our golf tournament in Miami, we had about 140 guys golfing, right? And then afterwards, we had the party at Hooters. Oh, my God. That, dude, we had 140 guys golfing, and we had a case of beer on each golf cart. Okay? Now, I don't want to mention any prominent Miami newscasters by name, but Rick Sanchez was there. And anyway, Rick, who is now on MSNBC, a tremendous guy, great man, supported our charity, the Jimmy Rice Center, and, oh, yeah, overturned a golf cart. But I got to tell you, so we went to Hooters. It was nuts. And I couldn't get a word in all night because it was just people coming up and wanting to meet. It's a lot of fun. So please join us in Las Vegas, the 22nd to the 24th. 1-888-445-8844. This is the Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
Bill Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Bobby Dooley, Western Estates Homeowners Association, joins us for Southern California Lifestyles.
Phil, I'm really interested. And first of all, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Bobby, and to your sons and to your husband, your family.
Thank you. I was interested in something that you said earlier about New Year's Eve and people staying at home.
Yeah.
Did you say that?
I said that Maria and I on New Year's Eve went to a friend's house and they had on the Dick Clark thing.
Yeah, you know, Phil, I really think that, and I know you and Maria, and I know you're both wonderful people, but I really think that's destructive. And
what is destructive?
Steve, let me use Steve and myself as an example. Let me put this as the best way I can. We never stay home on New Year's Eve.
You never stay home.
We never stay home on New Year's. You'll never find us at home. Because, and I don't, we are active, we dance, we go to parties. I will do anything, Phil, than stay home on New Year's Eve. I will even risk drunk driving because I don't want to be a loser. And I really, Phil, and I mean all due respect to you, I really think anyone that stayed home and watched Dick Clark drop the ball on Times Square is a loser. And
whoa, man. I mean, that is harsh. You know, there's people who've got children.
Oh, I know all about. Phil, I have three sons. Please don't tell me about having children. There are things called babysitters. And there are things called sleepovers with other families. But you don't stay home on a New Year's Eve, especially when you are the president of a homeowners association that is desperately seeking newer membership. And we do have the showdown coming up on Wednesday night, a week from tonight.
And well, the showdown that you talk about is you don't want people staying home on New Year's Eve, and so you mandated that they go out for 2 hours. Is that right?
We sent a memorandum. I sent a memorandum as the president, and I simply said, Western States is looking for young families. We are looking for young families who are with it, you know? We want young families that are with it. We don't want the smell of hot chocolate coming up.
All right, I understand. Let's get to the letter that you sent.
It was a memorandum, and we sent it saying, we are asking people to leave their homes for at least 2 hours on New Year's Eve so that Western Estates is a community that looks like it's with it, that looks like it's active, that looks like it has people that like to dance and go out and have a drink, for God's sake. Phil, we really have...
Well, you had a problem with a couple of people. People don't like being told what to do. I know, and you know, that...
Well, Janice Greeley and her husband, Ray, I asked them...
Yeah, those are the people I'm talking about.
I asked them what they're doing on New Year's Eve. She said to me they were going to stay home and watch Dick Clark. And I said, oh, my God. You know, Phil, you think you know someone.
What's wrong with that?
I'm sorry?
What's wrong with that?
What is wrong with that, Steve?
Yeah, Mr. Henry, we want to be with it.
We want to have a homeowners association.
Look, I want to talk to you and not Steve, okay?
We got to get young people to move in here, not old people. Hot chocolate. Like that.
We want a young community, Phil, and you don't have a young community of families moving in when you've got a bunch of losers sitting at home on New Year's Eve watching Dick Clark.
There's a reason why they call him Dick.
That's not funny at all, man.
Steve, I'll do this.
No, there is.
No, that's not funny at all, okay?
Steve.
What?
Steve, just... I'm sorry, Phil.
Yeah, well, you know what? If we're going to be adults, let's be adults. Dick Clark's been doing that for 31 years. What's so funny?
I don't know. I heard you mention his name, and then Steve, I started thinking what Steve said.
Well, let's be adults here, all right?
I'm sorry.
Let's just be adults. Dick Clark has been doing his thing on New Year's Eve for 31 years. People stay home and watch it.
We're losers.
Phil, we can't have the image of losers. If you stay home on New Year's Eve, you're either on a budget, you've got a drinking problem, or you're a loser, or all three. And it,
well, you said something interesting. You're willing to risk drunk driving.
Well, first of all, if your blood alcohol is a little bit over the limit, you can sober up by rolling the windows down and lighting some cigarettes. So it's not going to be that dangerous. We'll have a couple of cocktails and drive to different people's homes. We wanted to go to the Marv Griffin party
Who's Marv Griffin?
Marv Griffin, who has the
Merv Griffin, I'm told.
Oh, Merv Griffin. He has the party at the Coconut Grove.
Well, whatever, okay? To call people to stay home on New Year's Eve. Anyway, I was watching Dick Clark, but I wasn't at home. What does that make me?
Well, Phil, I just think it's really strange, very odd, that you can't find a place to go dancing. You can't find a place to go to a party. You want to sit around like a loser who's got a drinking problem and not go out.
You know, it occurs to me that you're trying to make me angry.
No, I'm not.
There's a reason why they call him Dick.
And if you say that one more time, I'm hanging up on both of you. Understand?
Steve, don't.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Well, you got a problem there at Western Estates. You've got people who don't want to be told that they have to leave their house on New Year's Eve so that you look like you've got a with it community. You also, apparently, you guys gave alcohol to an elderly woman. Who's Doris Molin?
She's one of our seniors. Why do you ask?
Well, she was arrested for a DUI after running her car up onto a sidewalk in Woodland Hills. Your husband provided the alcohol.
She is well over 21, Phil, and Steve was simply trying to get her to be with it and not be a loser.
Well, she was diabetic.
I didn't know about that.
She's in a coma right now, right?
Phil, Doris took a stand for Western Estates. She went out, and she was with it. She had a drink. She went dancing. And she upheld an image for our community. Now, right now, Western Estates is desperately trying to shed this image of a bunch of losers that sit home and watch Dick Clark on New Year's Eve. We're trying to get younger families. And by getting younger families, we are going to have a community that's attractive. Property values go up. Hello. And
well, your property values are based upon a lot of things. And one of the things that it's based upon is how nice the neighbors are. And if you got a lot of carousing...
We're not talking about carousing.
Bill, we're not talking about carousing. Just going out on New Year's Eve, for crying out loud. Instead of watching Dick.
What did I tell you about...
Steve, don't do that.
Because if he does it again, I'm hanging up. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil, I want to say that I love Western Estates too much to have people think we're a bunch of losers that live here.
Don't they have the right to do what they want to do?
Of course. But the property values go down if people think that there is nothing but a pack of losers living here. And as president of the Homeowners Association, I think it's up to me. And I was very offended that we only had about 15% of people complied.
Well, when you say 15% of people complied to your memorandum, 15% of the people that live in your community left their homes and went out on New Year's Eve.
That is correct, and I don't know what that says.
Can I offer an opinion?
Yes.
Maybe it means that these are family people. They have children. They want to stay home and celebrate the New Year's with their children.
Not all of them have children, Phil, and my God, can't a man and a woman go out on New Year's Eve instead of sitting in front of the TV set and watching Dick Clark? Can't a man and a woman have some time alone?
Don't you think there's 364 days out of the year that they can go out and have time alone?
And New Year's Eve, Mr. Henry, it's very romantic.
It's a very romantic time. When people sing Auld Lang Syne, should old acquaintance be forgot and never be denied? Should old acquaintance be forgot? Auld Lang Syne, and then you turn to the man that you love, and you give him a kiss. Oh, sweet Christ, it's romantic.
Well, I suppose that it is.
Instead of watching Dick.
Phil, the only Dick I want to know about on New Year's Eve isn't the guy on TV. I'm talking about...
Can we grow up now?
I'm sorry?
Can we grow up? Can we stop with the references? 1-800-449-8686. So if you stayed home, according to Bobby Dooley, if you stayed home on New Year's Eve to watch Dick Clark, you're a loser. Here's Liz on the Phil Henry Show. Liz, go ahead.
Hi. I was just in the car, and I was driving, listening to this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm completely speechless. I can't understand how this person can come out and say something like, being home with your loved one or whatever, even being at someone's house with your loved one, whatever you're doing together on New Year's makes you a loser.
What's wrong with going out and dancing?
There's nothing wrong with that at all. But that's everyone's prerogative. Some nights I feel like going out. Some nights I feel like staying in. And to sit there and call someone a loser is absurd.
I'm simply trying to get people motivated because it really hurts the property values of a community when everyone is sitting at home having hot chocolate on New Year's Eve. What happened to the with it crowd? The people that like to dance and be with it. Young families are attracted to that.
Well, they don't have to prove themselves by going out on the one night.
Dick Clark.
Dick Clark. Oh, my God.
It's not about Dick Clark. It's about being with people you care about, wherever the heck you may be.
Who did you watch on New Year's Eve?
No, I was out with friends.
Oh, thank God. Well, then what?
There are times, however, that I do, you know, want to be home with friends.
Well,
you know, I'm from New York. I'm in Florida now, and I've passed through Times Square. However,
it's a lot of fun.
Absolutely nothing, and I don't understand how you could sit there and call people names like that.
Well, I think the reason why it's very simply this: one night out of the year, New Year's Eve, get up, go out, dance. Get some blood running through your body, maybe for the first time in your life. You know, but most of the people that stay at home on New Year's Eve, Liz, don't have the money. They have drinking problems. It's really sad. Really, really sad.
Well, exactly. Sad, then you shouldn't be calling the names like that. Those people, you know, for whatever the reason is, unfortunately.
But it appears as if they're losers. That's what I'm talking about. So what I'm saying is, get up. Go out, even if you have a drinking problem, one night out of the week.
No, wait. People with drinking problems, they drink. It's very serious.
Not just one night.
What?
Not just one night.
Well, if a person's an alcoholic.
So what we are suggesting, even alcoholics can have a drink one night out of the year. And it,
well, I don't think you're right.
No, you can't. And it beats being looking like a loser.
Well, I don't know I don't know anything about it. I don't know that that's the case.
No, Phil, we have in our community probably 6 or 7 people who are admitted members of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I said, what's wrong with going out on New Year's Eve and having a drink?
Because alcohol, from what I've been led to believe, for alcoholics is...
Either that, Phil, or you look like a loser.
And you look at it like Dick.
Wait a minute. Alcohol for alcoholics is poisonous. They can die.
Not from a drink. No way. No way.
No, Phil, not from one drink.
Yes, because if it's a person's an alcoholic, it sets up a craving. They have more.
No, I think you're misinformed. I think one night out of the year, New Year's Eve, even the people who perhaps have had a serious alcohol abuse problem and have had monetary problems or domestic abuse problems as the result of that, one lousy drink on New Year's Eve isn't going to kill him. And
you knock it off with Dick. I think you're wrong about alcoholics having a drink on New Year's Eve. I got to take a break here. 1-800-449-8686. I'm talking with Bobby and Steve Dooley from Western Estates Homeowners Association. They issued a memorandum asking people to leave their homes for at least 2 hours on New Year's Eve so they look like they are a with-it community with couples that go out dancing and drinking, and they're not a bunch of losers staying home and watching Dick Clark. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And then another thing we did is we went around to the homes of all the people that didn't go out on New Year's Eve, and we put Alcoholics Anonymous material in their mailbox. And
which is obviously can't go out on New Year's Eve, and I need it.
So what we're trying to do, and Steve's going to help with this, is he can get one of those AA meetings and help those people learn how to drink responsibly. The problem with alcoholics is they can't drink responsibly. They throw up. They fall down. They embarrass their families. They just look stupid. And
the problems with alcoholics is a lot more serious than looking stupid. And you guys are not going to get anybody to drink responsibly. Once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. And just because a guy stays home on New Year's Eve doesn't mean he's an alcoholic.
Well, hold on for a minute. Wasn't that inspiring, you know?
Oh, come on. Don't be sarcastic.
No, that was so inspiring, Phil. It's wonderful to know that you know so much about everything.
I don't think you know Dick.
Yeah, that's ha ha ha. That's funny.
I thought it was very funny.
Yeah, that's real funny. Here is Bertha on the Phil Henry Show. Bertha?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, Bertha.
Hi. I would like to say that to you all that you all are very sick because of the fact people go to church New Year's Eve.
Oh, who goes to church on New Year's
Eve? There's a lot of people. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of people that are very religious. They go to church.
What are they praying for?
And why y'all sitting there talking about people sitting at home watching Dick Clark? A lot of people, it's a tradition. A lot of people do sit at home and watch Dick Clark, and then later on they party.
Later on,
you ain't got to go out to party nowhere. You understand? You can stay at home and party and get drunk all you want to. Being out there in the street, it ain't safe.
New Year's Eve's a night for sin. It's not for church. You'll go to church on New Year's Eve. Everybody knows.
And then you making a joke about Dick Clark. You crazy, man. You is crazy.
Anybody say I'm
crazy?
I'm not going to watch Dick Clark.
I bet Dick Clark got more money than you. I bet he got more money than you.
I make a lot of money.
I bet Dick Clark got more money than you.
My husband makes a lot of money with his landscaping business.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right, Bertha.
But,
and you know something? I think it's pathetic that you sit, you watch Dick Clark, and then you have a drink.
Wait a minute.
Huh?
You didn't hear
what
me
is
say
that about?
I watch Dick Clark. I said, people.
What do you do?
I said, people.
What do you do?
Oh, what I do? I be at home. I be at home with my children because I have a family.
Don't you take them out for a drink?
I don't have
what do you mean, doesn't she take her kids out for a drink?
And clubs and party and all that. Man, please. That's why people die today because...
Bertha, you and your friends, the possums and the raccoons, they can party
you're
away with Dick.
Hey, you the possum and the raccoon. Right. What the hell? I mean, you're the possum and the raccoon.
I don't.
You're talking to the right one.
Yeah, you know,
I ain't going to disrespect these people on this TV show. I ain't going to disrespect these people.
We do not have wild animals.
But y'all sick. Y'all sick. Y'all
what do you mean?
Sick.
I don't understand. Y'all
wacko.
I don't
y'all wacko.
Y'all
Steve.
Wacko.
Was I had to say
wacko?
What I had to say. Good night.
Go watch some dick.
All right.
You need to be. You need to grow up, man. You need to grow up.
You know.
You,
you
even mature. How old
look,
you is?
You
how
all,
old you is?
You and all your furry
you,
friends.
And you sick to let him talk like that. You sick woman. I'm telling you right
you
now
your
on the phone
friends.
That
look
you
at,
is sick.
Ladies
you
and gentlemen,
sick.
I'm sick because I don't want to stay home and watch Dick Clark, who's 105 years old,
no,
go out
I didn't
and have another drink.
I'm saying you're making a joke about him, period.
Bertha, can I ask
that
you a question?
That man ain't did nothing to you. What Dick Clark did to you?
Let me ask
Dick
you a question.
Dick Clark ain't did nothing
when
to
you. When you want something to
Dick
drink,
Clark
do you go out to the still or do you
that's
get out of the liquor store?
All right, okay.
You must be
1-800-449-8686. Why do you antagonize people?
I am not antagonizing anyone. So
you most certainly are. Talking about don't go out and watch Dick and all this stuff. You and your furry friends, the possums and the raccoons.
Well, Phil, it was obvious that that woman was rural. And I don't think she understands the subtleties of urban life, of living where there are a wide variety of options concerning nightlife.
Oh, what difference does it make whether you're going dancing down at a roadhouse or you're going over to Marv Griffin's club, as you call him?
What's wrong with that?
You don't even know his name.
I called him Merv.
No, you didn't. You called him Marv, Miss Sophisticated 2001.
Oh, my God, Steve, he said 19, and then he said 2001.
Hey, buddy, you got to get the year right.
Oh, well, I made a mistake.
This year is 2002.
Really? Glad you guys got a calendar. It must come with that wildly successful landscaping business you got.
You know, your sarcasm masks your sadness at watching Dick Clark on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, I'm very depressed about that. I'm very happy that you've called so that I can unburden myself, my manic, depressive, my bipolar, freaked-out brain over the fact that I was watching Dick Clark on New Year's Eve.
Well, Phil, you can make a joke out of it.
That's exactly what I'm doing. And for you to go around giving out Alcoholics Anonymous information, so anybody that stayed home on New Year's Eve is obviously a drunk.
You name it, we claim it.
What's that mean, I name it, you claim it?
You're right.
You're right, Phil. And if you've got a drinking problem, Phil, then...
I don't have a drinking problem. I was at a friend's house. Hold on. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil, I'm just saying it's going to be a cold day in hell before Steve and I stay home on New Year's Eve in our sweatpants, toasting each other with a mug of Bud on our Lazy Boy recliners. You can shoot me now if that day ever comes.
Plus, we're watching Dick Clark.
Yeah, you got a real thing about watching Dick Clark, don't you?
We go out, we party.
We're with it, Phil. We're part of the young crowd, and we're with it.
And what you're doing is, you could be as with it as you want, running around and giving people Alcoholics Anonymous information and saying there's nothing wrong with them having a shot of booze on New Year's Eve.
Well, it's either that, or we lose some $100,000 to $200,000 of equity in our home. Because
how are you losing equity if people think there's a bunch of losers living in there who watch Dick Clark on New Year's Eve? I don't give a crap what my neighbors do.
Do you live in a gated community?
Do I live in a what?
Do you live in a gated community with the Homeowners Association?
No. Is there some difference?
Yeah, it's a gated community. You don't even live in a gated community.
Phil, you're hardly in a position to understand what it's like to live in a gated community with a bunch of losers who live on the same street. Steve and I are with it. We're with it. We go out and we dance.
We rent a limousine, too.
That's another thing that we do. We rent a limousine on New Year's Eve.
Ooh, really?
You're so jealous.
No, I'm not jealous. I couldn't give a sweet Jesus whether you rent a limousine or not. Nowadays, everybody rents limousines.
No, they do not.
Yes, they do. Everybody can rent a limousine.
No, we rent a limousine, and you're just jealous because you can't.
I don't give a crap.
Steve wears a tux. All right, when we go out, we're with it.
Oh, well, Steve wears a tux. I'd rather swallow hydrochloric acid than wear a tux.
Yeah, you can't even afford it.
I could go down to any tux rental place, man, and get some cheap-ass-looking penguin suit and put it on for New Year's Eve. Big wow.
But you can't get a limousine.
Personally speaking?
Yeah?
I hate limousines. I think they're claustrophobic and they suck.
That's very easy to say when you're not with it and can't afford one.
Okay, well, whatever, lady. All right, here is Connie on the Phil Hendry Show. Connie, go ahead. Connie? Connie! Jesus, that lady just was there a minute ago. Here is, I don't know who this is, Ernie?
I think it's Emmy.
Emmy, go ahead, Emmy. Hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil.
Hi.
First of all, for you, don't argue with people that there's no point arguing with them. And Mrs.
Dooley,
you are a dangerously misinformed woman.
Are you speaking to me?
I'm talking to you. You know something? Well, I've been listening to his show for probably 10 minutes. You sound like you're intelligent, but unfortunately, you're completely misinformed.
You know, when we enter a party, people look at us. Because
and it's
we
very
are
sad that that is the limit of your life. You have absolutely no concept of what living is.
I take my wife out on New Year's Eve.
And first of all, I didn't go out on New Year's Eve. I had my friends. I chilled. I didn't drink.
And
I didn't need to drink.
Let's watch Dick Clark. Let's not forget that.
Not necessarily. I don't understand the whole Dick Clark
You don't
thing.
Come from America because you don't know about Dick Clark.
Exactly. I stayed home with my friends. And, you know, I was tired. It's cold. It's ridiculously expensive as far as I'm concerned.
What is? Going out and getting a bottle of hooch and having a drink?
What? Hooch? What the hell's hooch?
Liquor. It's liquor. It's
well,
America.
Well, that's your own
yeah.
problem if you have
liquor,
a drinking issue.
And then you liquor.
Will you shut your crude freaking comments up, man, okay?
It's very, very
if
sad.
If it ain't about dick, it's about liquor.
Well, it's unfortunate that's the extent of how they know to enjoy life. Secondly, when you're talking about alcoholism,
I just want to ask you something. I need to ask you something.
Whatever your name is.
I need to ask you something.
I don't know where you went
Did
to school.
The dingo eat
I don't
baby?
Know what you've been reading, and I'm not even listening to you because nothing intelligent is coming out of your
she
mouth.
She asked if the dingo ate your baby. That's really funny. And I don't
well,
think
that's really
lady,
funny. That's Australian, idiot.
It's where?
That's Australia. You know something you really need to go. I don't think you probably have a college degree. So I suggest you go back to school, go and look at
Wait,
the atlas,
Henry,
and know where the word dingo comes from.
In Australia,
okay?
they celebrate New
it's
Year's
Australia.
In the summer. They're not with it.
Isn't that where you're from?
No, she's British. I can tell she's British.
Oh, my God. These people. Where do you get these people from?
In Australia, they celebrate New Year's in the middle of the summer, which is the most ridiculous thing.
And that is precise. Hello, Phil?
Yes.
Why are you talking to people who...
Let me say something here, Ms. Dooley. Australia in the Southern Hemisphere, yes, you're right. They celebrate the summer months fall during our winter, okay?
I don't understand.
You don't understand.
Why are you even...
Mr. Henry, I'd like to know at this time why you allow a foreigner to laugh at me.
Ouch!
Why are you allowing this woman from Australia or wherever she says she's from...
Because you're funny. You're so sad, it's funny.
I'm sad.
I'm trying to get people with it. So you don't realize that that in different continents, there are different seasons. It just happens that December falls in the summer.
I said that you come from Australia and you're upset.
No, I wasn't upset. You said dingo. It just shows how silly and stupid you actually are.
I was making a joke and I asked when the dingo ate your baby.
Well, didn't sound funny. Well, very funny.
When do you celebrate New Year's? When do you celebrate New Year's?
The same as you. As far as I know, it's a Christian calendar.
Well, is it hot out or cold?
What do you mean?
Please,
she lives here.
I'm about to piss myself laughing here. England, oh, my God. I can't, Phil, it's a pleasure.
Yes, ma'am.
You know,
no,
you sound remotely like you have a brain.
You call up a radio show and make a fool out of yourself. That's your business. But what we're trying to do, go out and be with it and dance.
Go out and do what?
Dance.
Go out and dance. Yes, ma'am.
Would you consider who's been making a fool out of themselves?
Hey, ma'am. Good day, mate.
Now, you have to admit, that's funny.
What's funny about it? The woman isn't from Australia. If she was from Australia, maybe it would be funny.
What difference does it make? The accents are all the same.
No, they're not. No, they're not at all.
Oh, really?
Lord.
So you're telling me there's a difference between a British accent and an Australian?
Yeah.
What's the difference?
The Australians say crap like fast as lagging, crap like that.
Oh, my God,
you
are pathetic.
It's not even that. There's a completely different accent.
Hey, put another shrimp on the Barbie.
Yeah, that's actually one of the Australian phrases. Ha, 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 ha. Good one.
Yeah, because
that is actually an Australian phrase, but Australians speak completely differently.
Well, you know an awful lot about Australia not to be from there.
What? Any idiot knows where Australia is and that put another shrimp on the Barbie thing. That's been going around for years.
Exactly.
What do you mean, faster's lagger?
Huh?
What do you mean, faster's? Lager.
That's the way they talk down there.
What do they say in England?
Yeah, I bet you don't know that.
I don't. Go ahead, say Foster's Lager, Emmy.
Foster's Lager.
It's
a beer, darling. It's a beer. It's Foster's Lager. Foster's Lager.
This is degenerating into a stupid conversation.
This is ridiculous, okay?
I can't really talk to these people because they just have nothing there.
Emmy, if you can't have a drink, then I would suggest that you stay home and watch Dick or whatever you do.
Nobody said one can't have a drink. You can have a drink. I can drink if I want to. It's just I chose not to on New Year's.
Hey, you ever watch that Australian Rules football?
Why don't you shut up, okay? Thank you
Phil,
for your call, ma'am.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
1-800-449-8686.
So a woman from Australia gets to make fun of us.
No, she's not from Australia still. She still comes from England.
Have another Faster's Lager.
Jesus, you need a drink, man. I'm going to need a drink after this. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Well, before we went on vacation, we had Alf on the line. He was an Italian man who lives up in Ventura, and he was playing Secret Santa. Secret Santa meaning he was giving $100 bills out to the widows of World War II veterans who had recently died. And as we interviewed him, we found out a little bit more about what it meant to be a Secret Santa and what he expected from these women.
Phil Hendry. Flashback.
This gentleman sounds like he's a complete scam artist. And if he is giving any money away, look, listen, let me have my minute, okay? I've been holding a long time. You sound like a lunatic, and I don't believe you're giving 5 cents to anybody.
This is a perfect example
of elder abuse if you are giving anybody any money
and
expecting something in return. That's not a charity. You don't have any kind of a charity.
I give these women...
You just like to hear yourself talk and talk about yourself.
Are you giving them $100?
Yes, I am.
In exchange for sex?
I want to know the name of the charity so that we can report him.
It's called a Secret Santa. I'm the Secret... I do it with my neighbors. What do you mean?
Okay, that's great. We're going to look into this, and we're going to report you to elderly abuse.
Because you don't want an old lady having it. I'm a great lover.
It's against the law to give money to people and expect sex in return, and don't try to pretend that it's anything
but
that.
So, in other words, you don't like these women to be happy that they have a great lover as old women.
You know, as a typical woman abuser that you sound like,
you're very liberal, aren't you?
No, I'm not liberal at all. You sound like a liberal. No,
everything,
I am not. I am very, very conservative.
Everything's abuse. Everything's abuse.
That's right.
If you spit
and
on
you
the sidewalk, it's abuse.
You are using World War II and taking advantage of that great war and what the wonderful men who gave their lives.
They were great men.
And I'd like to know what unit you were in. Let's hear about your war experiences.
I was not in the war at that time.
Of course not. I knew that.
I bet you
probably never served in the armed forces.
At the time, I was. You know something? I made a lot of women happy in my life.
You.
Because I'm considered to be a very great lover.
I'm really glad that you compliment yourself.
It's healing for these women to sleep
with me. I'm going to look into this charity, the Secret Santa.
I thought this was the 70s, you liberal.
And turn you in.
You're
okay.
A Democrat. You sound like a Democrat.
And you
shouldn't. That doesn't want nobody
to
have
nobody. Whatever your political persuasion is has nothing to do with the fact
that you are taking advantage of women who
really need our help and support.
They do get their help. I get
like
their
you
help.
Taking advantage of them.
What's
You're
wrong with me
more,
providing them with healthy...
You are nothing more than a rapist, okay?
Oh, God, what a liberal. What a liberal. I'm a rapist, yeah. Everything is rape. Everything's
That's
abuse.
Right.
I bet you, Maureen, if I went to your house and I fought it...
called your mother up and said, here's $100 because we feel so sorry for you, and by the way... How about we go out and have a little fun in my car? How would you like that for your mother?
If he was a good lover, I would appreciate him doing that.
You are such a liar.
No.
You're a liar about your
charity.
No, ma'am.
Oh, I lie because I don't agree with you? Because I don't agree with you?
You've never served in the armed forces, and I'd be willing to bet you're not even any part of any charity.
And
you just like to hear yourself talk.
And what unit did your father, serve in?
My father served in the Air Force in World War II, and my husband is a multi-decorated Green Beret.
All right, then let me ask you this.
Who served in Vietnam.
If your husband died,
nothing but
if your husband died, wouldn't you want a man to be a good lover for you after he died?
You know something.
Wouldn't you want a man to give it to you good?
You
oh, my God.
Would
you watch how you're talking to this lady?
No, but after,
you know what?
If her husband died, wouldn't she want a man to give it to her good?
He couldn't hurt anybody's feelings.
Is your mother
a liar?
Is your mother
He's
still alive?
Oh, crap. He hasn't given away 10 cents.
I gave away $10,000 to these widows.
You haven't given away. You don't even have 10,000 pennies.
Why did she say to me that I was the great lover?
Why do you give people like this time on the air, and why am I even bothering with you?
Does your husband wear his beret? Does your husband wear his beret when he gives you his Secret Santa?
I am not listening to you.
Look, you are a very rude man.
Insulting, rude moron.
This man, I give these women money and she calls me insulting because I help women.
It's a flashback from before Christmas. The voice of Alf there was performed by me, as well as the voice in this preceding hour of Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley, performed by me here on the Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Well, let me see. I guess I'll tell you about this little bit of a news story that we got. How do you pronounce that guy's name, that Moussaoui guy? Yeah, the guy who is going on trial for conspiring with Al-Qaeda. Now, his mother stood in front of the judge today and said that she didn't want her son to be a scapegoat. So it was another mother standing next to a boy who's standing in front of a judge, and he's been accused of what other heinous deeds he might have committed. And I keep telling Maria the same thing, because we have three kids, three sons. I said, don't be one of these women that is standing next to your son in 10 or 15 years telling the judge what a good boy he is after they found heads in his icebox. Don't do it. And you know as well as I do, the three kids that we got, it's entirely possible. And then I say, I'm only kidding, but that's after she's hit me. So what is it with women? especially mothers. He's a, Your Honor, he's a good boy. We found a head in the icebox. How could he be a good boy? No, Your Honor, he was always a good boy, always called me. He drank the blood out of three women. He drank the blood. He lived on the blood of human beings for years. He lived in a box, and then he came out at night, and he turned into a bat, and he sucked blood. But he always called me. All right, he called you. He called you at night when the rates are lower. He always called you. It was only three women, Your Honor, with the heads in the icebox. Oh, well, okay. Yeah, well, you got a point there. He's a good kid. You're right. Let him go, bailiff. Mothers all over America. Every day, every week, every month, and I guess that would leave every year, stand in front of judges and go, he's a good boy. He, you know, is that some, it's a biochemical thing, I think. It's a woman is incapable of disassociating herself from her kids. She's incapable of standing and looking objectively and saying, you know what, you're right, he's a scumbag, put him away. It's unless she has been so, you know, victimized herself by the kid. But generally, she'll stand there to the end of the day, to the ends of the earth. She'll stand and say, but he was a great kid, and he... Look it, lady, the kid, like, you know, he's a cannibal. He eats people. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, he ate, like, five babies, all right? Well, but what about the cookbook? What about the cookbook? It's about how to eat a baby. But it was a good read. Well, all right, I'll give you that. Now, fathers, on the other hand, we got no problem. We got no problem. We'll toss them to the lions in seconds. Here's an old saying, according to Craig Taylor, unless he's, you know, just giving me crap. Once you have a child, your heart lives outside of your body for the rest of your life. What the hell? Who said that? Dr. Frankenstein? What? that sounds ghoulish, my brother. Like a mother. A mother. Well, anyway, that lady was in front of the judge today, and she's saying she doesn't want her son to be a scapegoat. The scumbag pleaded. He didn't plead. He didn't enter a plea. I know, because he's standing in front of the corrupt American judicial system, which has it in for all African-American, Asian-American, Indian-American, Irish-American, colored-American, beige-American. And it's the worst judicial system in the world, unlike, for instance, let's say, Iran, where you can stand in front of the judge, and all they'll do is hack your testicles off if you got an erection. Or some such kind of progressive justice. Oh, anyway. You know, I've been getting my head into a really good place here. The new year is upon us. I've forgotten all about 9/11. I'm back to normal. How about you? Everything is just great in my life. And then the other thing that we did over the holidays, obviously, was have Christmas. And the best thing that I did was buy a trampoline for the kids. Now, let me tell you what was good about this. They're actually getting outside the house. See, kids that are into computers and video games, and you can't blame them because they're very cool to play. They got a GameCube, by the way, and they were on that thing, like, for hours Christmas Day. But I got this trampoline, and the guy set it up for me in the backyard. The kids are outside now, and it's an unusual thing because they're out there. See, this is what you meant by a day. Yeah, this is a day. Yeah, see, sun, clouds, it's a sky, and cheese. I never knew. I know you didn't know, but you can bounce up and down on that. But I ain't put it inside the house. If you think I'm putting that in the house, come on, put it in the house. We're used to going there. You can bounce up and down on the trampoline and go back into your hole, which is what they did, basically. They came out for about 5 hours, bounced their asses off up and down on that trampoline. And then, of course, I had to get up there and pretend that I'm with it, as Bobby would say. And I bounced up and down, and as I kind of catapulted myself off of the trampoline, my foot caught the metal frame. And I look down, and my baby toe is at, like, right angles to my foot. You got it. I broke my toe. And guess what? There's no cure. I just had to, like, put ice on it. Oh, are we done? My toe is.
Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
All right. We were talking earlier about Jaguars. Jaguar is a car that's gone through a renaissance, I suppose. I don't know. I really don't know. I know that people buy Jags simply because they don't want to be seen in a Mercedes. And why don't they want to be seen in a Mercedes? Because they don't want to look like everybody else that owns a Mercedes. And that means, yeah, if you own a Mercedes, you're going to look like a guy that has a Mercedes. I suppose they think there's too many of them out there. You remember when BMW was a car that looked cool? And now, like, it doesn't? Unless you have one of those big BMW sedans that looks like, well, a Jaguar. Anyway, we were talking about Jags, and that naturally led us to the conversation of crap box cars, because at one time, Jaguar was considered to be one of the all-time most disgusting, money-draining, overrated pieces of turd rolling down the highway in the history of man on this planet was the Jaguar. And nobody can deny it. Everybody knows it. Everyone knows they had the reputation. Then Ford took them over, and suddenly you see a lot of them out there. You see those XJRs, the XJHs, see those Van Dans. You see a lot of Jags. So I suppose somebody's doing something right when it comes to Jag. But a lot of those cars that went by the wayside, when I was coming up in the world and I had a few dollars to throw around and I thought it would look pretty cool to drive a convertible, the only one that I could afford was a thing called a Triumph Spitfire. And I had a Triumph Spitfire. You should have heard this thing going down the road. It was like a lawnmower. That's what it sounded like. I remember I was out driving in this thing with my dad one night. I took my old man to a football game. And we're driving. He goes, have you got this thing out of third gear? Because that's the way you're talking in a Triumph, you know? Yeah, how you doing? Real good. Some with the British, they think that, you know, if you are going to own a sports car, it's got to sound like one, it's got to act like one. In other words, it's got to sound like one, it's got to be loud, and then it's got to act like one. It's got to drip a lot of oil, and you got to be under it fooling with it every Saturday. In other words, you got to be working on it all the time. I didn't spend my money to have this thing up on freaking blocks on Saturday morning, crawling underneath the thing, plugging another oil leak, putting another air filter in, retuning it, because the slightest little bump in the road threw the timing off to the point where it sounds like... And my father says, son, is this still in third gear, man? Have you shifted down? No, it's in fourth. It sounded like the bloody thing was so loud and you were whining it out so much. When you had it in fourth, it sounded like it was in second. Just... I drove that thing all the way down to Anaheim Stadium for a Monday night L.A. Ram game, and then all the way back up to the South Bay with my poor, dear old senior citizen father sitting shotgun. And this thing. It was really crappy. And there was another one called a Fiat. Anybody ever own a Fiat or remember the Fiat? And you know the old joke, it was Fix It Again Tony, F-I-A-T. It meant Fix It Again Tony. And why? Because most people thought, Italian cars weren't any good. Then there was one called the Renault, and then there was the Renault Dauphine. Now, I don't know the difference between either. I don't know. They may be the same car, but the Renault was another French car, and it sucked. And then there was the MG, the MGB, and then the MGBT. And all of that stood for one thing, turd. There was the MG, the MGB, the MGBT, and the TURD. There was the MGTURD, and then the BLT, which is, frankly, the best of all of them. Because has there ever been anything to top the BLT? No, there hasn't. So all of these cars, you know, were crap boxes. They were foreign. They were, and again, you can talk about American. Here's what I'm trying to say. I'm not talking about a car with a basic design flaw. I'm talking about a car that if they just tightened the bolts a little bit tighter, if they just made the time, they might have been good cars. Unlike, for instance, American crap box cars like Pinto, Hornet, these were cars that had basic engineering flaws. Gas tank in the rear, bad idea, flames, third degree burns, hell. Hornet, bottom falls out of carburetor. You know, these are cars with basic design flaws. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about these cars that they could have been great. They could have been great. They could have been contenders instead of bums, which is what they was. Crappy TR6. What is that? Was that a Triumph? Remember the TR6? Oh, is it better than the TR5? I don't know. These were all British cars, or they were French, or they were like Italian or something. And by the way, I'm seeing Ferraris popping up more and more now because there are more and more people with money. Ferrari, at one time, was that Italian car that was only painted red, and it was fast. And when's the last time you saw a Ferrari win a race? Win a race. What did I say? I was drinking on New Year's Eve with Bobby and Steve. Excuse me. And guess who has a new SUV now? You'll never guess. Logically, Porsche, of course. Why wouldn't a sports car manufacturer make an SUV? Makes sense to me. What? 1-800-449-8686. So what's the biggest crap box you ever owned in your life? Craig Taylor.
Ford Probe.
Ford Probe. A Ford Probe? My girlfriend had a Probe. And I ain't talking about the car either. No, she had a Probe. You just got rid of it last week? How long? How many years did you own that thing?
About a year.
A year, and it never ran right, right? Ford Probe. Ford Tempo? You owned a Tempo, or you just heard they sucked? How about you, Janice? A Datsun pickup. Now, I'm surprised, because Datsun, not a sexy car, but I never had a problem with it. I had a B210. I had a Datsun B210. Yeah, I had a B210. Little piece of crap. I could have afforded a better car. I've never known anything about cars, and I've never really been a guy who got the connection between women and cars until it was too late. You know, if you get a better car, Henry, it doesn't matter how ugly you are. You'll still get broads because they like, oh, really? Yeah. Now do you get it? No, I don't. Right. Oh, forget it. Jackass. Mine, it's a toss-up. There's no doubt that the AMC Hornet, of course, was my favorite piece of crap. But I've got to think on this. I had a Ford Falcon. That was a great car. I didn't mean to bring that up in the same breath with crap cars. This Ford Falcon I had was marvelous. It was a 1969 Ford Falcon. And when I went to sell it, I had hundreds of phone calls. Hundreds. And I finally found out that there is a subculture of Ford Falcon devotees who buy these things and restore them. I mean, millions of Ford Falcon freaks. I sold the thing for like $100. I could have gotten five times the value had I been brighter, but ain't that the story of my life? What do you think about that, Martin Kondracki? So, I got to go probably with the Hornet, and if I can think of anything else, I will. But the Hornet, man, oh, baby. And that morning that I got out of bed and I had tonsillitis, and I had to go to work, and my throat was killing me, and I start the engine, and the bottom falls out of the carburetor. I can smell gas leaking all over the place, and I'm having my friend help me push start the thing. There's no way you push start a car that has effectively no carburetor. It has no carburation, and we're trying to push start it. And I smell gas, and I got a gas leak somewhere. I finally popped the hood. The bottom had fallen out of this thing. You know, they talk about lawsuits filed against the tobacco companies. There ought to be just one big, all-encompassing, final bell, last shot, last call lawsuit filed against the automakers of America on behalf of all of us that had to suffer through the Hornets, the Pintos, and all the other crap burgers that we drove down through low these many years. And then it's over. Knock them up for about, say, what do you figure, like $500 billion? Spread it out between all of us. Boom, it's over. Take a thought. Well, what do you figure? 30 years for the auto industry to get back on its feet? But in the meantime, we got all the rice rockets coming over. We'd be fine. 1-800-449-8686. John, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. John?
Hi.
How you doing?
Oh, pretty good.
Great, man.
Hey, yeah, my parents owned a Renault Alliance and a Hornet.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Got a Renault Alliance.
Yeah, that was my first car. That thing was such a piece of crap.
Now, what was this? What's what they used to call a compact car, right?
Yeah, what was it? It was actually a four-door that they had.
Was it a four-banger?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah,
it had
like a 1.2 liter or something in there.
Yeah, a little four-cylinder pile. And
yeah.
You'd go down the road in this thing, and you looked like you were bigger in the car sitting in it, right?
Yeah.
Hey, did you ever have a car where your girlfriend had to crawl through the passenger window to get into it?
Well, with this car, I never had a girlfriend.
So. All right, man, thank you. Thanks. I had a car once that for some reason, I had the air filter sitting on the passenger side floorboard, and my girlfriend had to crawl through the passenger side window to get in. And we were going out one night, and she was very nicely dressed, but she crawled through the window, which is very unladylike to begin with, and then got oil all over her pants from this air filter that I had sitting there. So it was just many years before we broke up. You talk about class. But I was young then. I was 46. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
This is the Phil Hendry Show.
This Massachusetts hockey death trial has begun. A man accused of beating another father to death after their son's hockey practice went on trial. Jury selection began in the trial of Thomas Junta, 42. He's charged with manslaughter. In the 2000-year death of Michael Costin, jurors were asked if their children played on sports teams and if they ever witnessed a fight between parents. They didn't want to introduce pictures, the autopsy photos, because they were so brutal that it might prejudice a jury. And the guy faces up to 20 years in prison. What's the difference between manslaughter and murder? Manslaughter is you beat a guy within an inch of his life, and murder is you kill him. Manslaughter is not planned murder. I wonder why there's a difference. You know what I'm saying? I wonder why the law makes a differentiates between a crime of passion and just a crime. Accidentally kill a guy, I can see that. Like if you're driving a car and you're driving it fast. On second thought, I don't get the difference. I don't see the difference between killing somebody by accident and killing them on purpose. Because if you're driving drunk, that shows culpability, and if you got into an accident as a result and killed some people that you knew when you got in the car and you're drunk, you're going to kill them, right? If you're driving the car fast or in a reckless manner and you've got any brains at all, you know that what you're doing could lead to potentially the death of the people in the car. And by the same token, a fist fight, if you strike somebody, this culture and this society of people were weaned on westerns and movies where people get into fist fights. And then the guy gets his ass kicked, and then the victor goes, hey, and then he gets on his horse and he rides away, right? The reality is the man whose ass you kicked today will come back tomorrow with a gun and cap you as sure as you're standing there. There is no such thing as beating somebody up with your fists, so I guess you do have to kill them. Look at this. Craig had a friend who got into a fight with a guy, and the guy had a heart attack. He died, and his friend was charged with manslaughter. What happened to him? He was found not guilty. I suppose the only way that you could say that the guy's not guilty is if the fight was to defend himself. If somebody attacked you, and you're defending yourself, and you beat the guy to death, then the law has got a hold in your favor. But if you're walking out onto the ice because your kid's coach did something wrong, and you use your fists as violent weapons, and you kill somebody, as far as I'm concerned, it's murder. I know nobody's listening to me, but I don't understand why there is a you want to change people's view toward violent death? Why don't you change the laws as it pertains to manslaughter, murder, or whatever? Or who gives a crap? Okay, I'm sorry. Shut up, Phil, and let's talk more about cars, all right? Let's talk about manslaughter. The guy I bought that Triumph from, I'm going to tell you. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. And then the only other news is they're playing the clowns arrived in Afghanistan. Isn't this just heartwarming? An international contingent of clowns is planning a trip to Afghanistan to teach the country's people how to laugh again. Isn't that sweet? Do you know that in 6 months we'll get a story, cave full of clowns found dead? A cave filled with 75 clowns, all dead. Because they pissed off some anti-Taliban guys so much that they decided to just machine gun them in a cave. You know, Chucko the Clown was quoted as saying, geez, I didn't know they didn't like the spinning hat. In other news, all right, let's go over to Tom in Philly. Tom, hi. Okay, Tom, thanks for your call. Here is Gary. Gary,
hello?
How you doing?
Yeah. Good, how you doing?
Fine.
Hey, how about the Gremlin or the Vega?
How about that? That's what I had, a Gremlin. I didn't have a Hornet, and I didn't have a Pacer. And I didn't Gremlin. Have a Vega. I had the Gremlin.
Gremlins, they're terrible.
Really?
Yeah, I had one.
How many did you own?
I had one Gremlin. My dad bought it for me when I was 16. It was supposed to be like a...
Is that child abuse?
Kind of.
That's technically child abuse, isn't it?
Yeah, I was driving at home, going up the hill, and it blew up like a bomb.
Maybe he was trying to get rid of you.
A freaking rod came right through the pan.
It blew up like a bomb. What, the hood? The hood flew off?
Nah, it's just the whole bottom of the oil pan came off, made a loud bang, and all the oil come gushing out of it.
And it dropped the rod too, huh?
Yeah, the rod came right out of the pan.
Let me guess, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning and you were 50 miles from home.
Well, it was about 30 miles from home. It was about 12 o'clock.
Perfect.
Hey, if you want a good sports car, get a Vette.
Nice car, isn't it?
I just bought a 96, man. I'll never buy another car but another Vette.
That's a beautiful thing. How much was it for a 96?
Well, I traded an old muscle car. I had a Trans Am, and I traded an old Vette in, and I got it for 12 grand.
You got a 96 Vette for 12 G's, huh?
No, I got the Vette for 12,000, but I traded an old Trans Am and an old Vette.
Oh, you got a couple of trade-ins? What'd they value at?
They gave me 6 for each one.
They gave me 6, so that's 24 grand.
Yeah, it was 24. But I'll tell you what, I don't even miss them old cars.
I was going to get one, but it's only a two-seater. I got, like, people in my family. I got, you know what I'm, you know, I got to be able to carry kids.
Did you ever drive one?
Never drove a Vette, no. Is it just automatic? Or you got it a manual or automatic?
I got an automatic, but I wanted a six-speed, but I got an automatic.
They sell a six-speed?
Yeah.
They come with a six-speed, the new models?
The new models do, yeah. The brand new ones do. They all from...
You know what, how old are you, man?
35.
See... You're young enough to drive a Vette. I get into a Vette and I look like a complete and utter asshole. Yeah, right. Thanks. Yeah, sure, Grandpa. That's great. There you are in your Vette.
Take it for a ride. You'll buy one. That's what I did. My brother bought one. The next day, I traded both my muscle
cars. Old man driving a sports car, it's sad.
You think?
Yeah, well, it looks like the guy's trying to, you know, Bob just got back from the penile implant clinic, huh? Got yourself. Okay, that's great.
Nah.
All right, man.
A lot older guys.
Okay, brother. I appreciate it. Thanks. Bye. Yep. I'm not that old. I mean, I'm a young 49. 1-800-449-8686. Grady, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, Grady.
Curiosity question. You made a comment a few seconds ago, and I wasn't real sure what it was about. You had asked a question about when was the last time that Ferrari had won a car race, and I'm just
the answer is what, like 2 weeks ago?
More or less, that's correct.
Oh, okay. You know what? There was a time when I followed road racing that Ferrari was really a... when I say road racing, I guess I'm talking more Grand Prix.
Correct, Formula One.
Yeah, Formula One, and Ferrari was winning a lot of races. Now, I hadn't heard of that manufacturer in a long time dominating the Grand Prix circuit the way they had at one time. That's all.
Oh, okay.
Are they now? Are they now racing as a team, and they have a prominent position there along the Grand Prix circuit? Is that true?
Absolutely. They won the World Drivers' Championship as well as Constructor.
And let me ask you, who's driving for them?
Rubens Barrichello was their number two driver, and the number one driver is a guy named Michael Schumacher.
Michael Schumacher, very well known, yeah. You know, the thing about Grand Prix, I'm like a lot of Americans. Well, I'm not like a lot of Americans. I used to stay in touch with Grand Prix racing, but it's what the rest of the world does when we're sitting watching our NASCAR races. In other words, Grand Prix is the soccer of auto racing. And we sit on our asses and we watch the car go round and round in circle. We watch a lot of those left turns. Grand Prix racing, on the other hand, it's sophisticated. You'll probably get laid a lot if you get, you know, into the inner circle of... Because it's, you know, the ascot and the mustache and... I don't know, I'm going to Le Mans tomorrow. Don't bother me, you know. But how do you watch those races? Because it's like, okay, one turn and then the car's gone. And then they come back. It's another turn. You watch them on TV. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
So we went to the movies this past, Christmas vacation. I got the two movies I saw I would recommend, but one you really got to see, and I don't want to tell you anything about it. The movie's called A Beautiful Mind, and it's with Russell Crowe, and it's about a mathematician named John Nash. And he recently won the Nobel Prize in 1994 for game theory mathematics. I have no idea what that is, but let's just say this guy's brilliant. Well, the movie is about his life. I'm not going to tell you anything more. I guarantee this movie is going to blow your mind. Now, I read the reviews, and it's a biographical film that doesn't follow exactly the way his life went. Like, for instance, his wife really divorced him in 1963, but then remarried him. Well, whatever, man. I mean, the movie is about a particular topic and deals with it in the best way. I can't tell you what it's about. If I do, then I'll give it away. Ordinarily, I give away movies. Like, I had people calling me up and saying, how come you gave away Saving Private Ryan? I said, because it's in a history. What do you mean, gave it away? We beat the Germans. Gave it away. Well, you said what happened at the beginning. Oh, you mean guys got shot? Yeah. Oh, shoot. You didn't know the guys got shot on D-Day on the freaking beach. I'm sorry. What, are you nuts or something? What do you mean I gave away Saving Private Ryan? The thing opened up, the guys got shot, then a bunch of them hit the beach, they shot the Germans. What did I give away? Well, you didn't tell us that it happened like that. Well, I hate to break the news, but when the guys went on the thing at D-Day, they got shot. What, all the other movies, they didn't get shot? Well, yeah, that longest day with John Wayne, man, they didn't get shot at all. No, you're right. When the guys got shot in that movie, they said, ow, and they fell down. You mean like in Saving Private Ryan, they got cut in half with a machine gun. Is that what you mean? Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, let me just tell you now that when the guys actually got shot, they got, pretty messed up. What are you talking about? I gave away Saving Private Ryan. But this movie, if I open my mouth anymore about it, I'll give it away. Just let me just tell you, go see this flick. This is really great. Ron Howard directed it. He always makes good movies, doesn't he? I know he doesn't make your basic art house fare, and I'm as art housey a guy as the next of you, the rest of you, the next of kin, whatever. I go down there to my little art house, and I watch Life is Beautiful and Life Blows and, 20 Mule Team Borax or whatever that's playing. Everything with the subtitles and some clown with the umbrella and the balloon and who gives a... I go watch all this stuff. But Ron Howard, he makes a good movie. But this Beautiful Mind, you got to see it. Now, the other one that we saw Ali. That's a good flick, if for no other reason than the kid, Will Smith, out of sight. He's real good. And so's John Voight. But a little too much makeup there, John, to look like Howard Cosell. I come from that Anthony Hopkins school of, if you want to play Richard Nixon, the first thing you do, don't look like him. I don't know why it worked, but it did. You ever see Anthony Hopkins play Nixon? He didn't do any makeup. He just kind of hunched his shoulders and went, John, I'm not a crook. He just did all that stuff. It worked for whatever reason. I don't know why. Well, the whole deal with John Voight plays Howard Cosell in this Ali. And, man, he's got about 68,000 pounds of makeup with the big ears and the big honking freaking nose. And we get it. He's Jewish. Okay. Well, I just wanted to make sure. You know that he's Jewish? With that nose. Okay, I got it. But he was really good, and Will Smith was terrific, and they staged the Rumble in the Jungle, the Foreman fight, brilliantly, just beautiful. The fight scenes are choreographed better than any you've ever seen in any movie. I don't care what fight movie you want to talk about, this film choreographs the fight scenes better than any. They look real, there's real blows being struck. The cats that played Joe Frazier and Foreman had their styles down, especially the guy that played Frazier. And if any of you guys out there like me, an old creep driving a Corvette, if you're like me, an old guy trying to drive a Corvette and look young, then you'll remember Frazier's fighting style, bobbing and weaving and those little compact arms going in, trying to get inside of Ali. And the actor that, I don't know who it was, but he had him down beautifully. And Foreman, the guy that played Foreman, they've got a scene in the training room before the fight. They're in Zaire, and this guy is like 100 roundhouse rights hitting this bag, and you think an atomic bomb's being dropped. That's how big this dude is and how powerful this guy is hitting this bag. You think the freaking bag is going to come off the chain. Then he goes back to the left hand and he starts doing it. So it was just brilliant from that standpoint. But Will Smith and John Voight together doing all the Cosell and Ali exchange stuff that they used to do on Wide World of Sports is dead on, perfect. They deal with his conversion to Islam very well, all the period of his life when he was out of fighting because of the draft evasion conviction, and then he was overturned, you know, then it was overturned rather by the Supreme Court. It's really a good movie. Don't take a kid to see it, because the problem with this flick is there's like an interminable beginning to it where the music goes on forever and the credits go on forever, and it's like, will you shut up already with the Sam Cooke music? I understand it's the early 60s. Other than that, damn good movie. All right, 1-800-449. So there's the two that I saw. Beautiful Mind, Ali, and Craig says Lord of the Rings is great, but get stoned first. Okay. 1-800-449-8686. Mike, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
Fine, Mike. How are you?
Fine. You forgot to mention one of the biggest pieces of junk of all time, the 1973 MG Midget. Remember those?
Oh, yeah. MG Midget.
I had one of those back when I was a sophomore.
Are you feeling unsafe in a car? Well, how about getting one even smaller than the one you have, so that when you get hit in this one, it'll be just like one big steel tomb. Big
steel coffin. I tell you, it was a chick magnet, but it didn't take any rain. Just a storm cloud, and that thing would poop right out.
You know why that car was a chick magnet? Because women have it down that the bigger the car a man drives, the smaller he is. The smaller the car the man drives, it must also conversely apply, the larger he is. So that's why that was a chick magnet.
Well, there's only one way, to take him outside and ask him to stick their head in the window there and get your cigarettes for you.
You do what?
Well, they've got to get them outside and ask them to put their head in the window there and get your cigarettes off the console for you. That was the only way.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, if you knew what he was referring to or can decipher that call at all, please give us a call at 1-800-449-8686. You could win a nice toaster oven. Here's Jack on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, my friend?
Fine.
To determine what that man just said, it's just like putting a king-size bed inside a shoebox, okay? But what I'm calling about, I got the lemon of all lemons, guaranteed. You ready for this one?
Hold on. Let me get ready. Go ahead.
The 1997 Plymouth Peon Neon.
Oh, the Neon.
Correct.
I thought that was a Dodge.
Plymouth Dodge, it's both the same. It's a Chrysler product.
Yeah, I rented one of those when I first came to California this last time. I had a Neon.
Right.
Mercifully, it was hit from behind by some old lady and destroyed. So
right.
That was terrific. Yeah, the Neon. You know, what was so bad about it, man? It was just ugly?
No, it's the head gasket. I've actually been online with this, and there's over 5,000 people that's had the same exact problem with it.
Good God.
And you know what? Chrysler's denying the whole thing, too.
They're denying what? That they ever made the car? That's not ours. It's Japanese.
Yeah, they should.
Wait a second. I know you bought it from Chrysler. No, that's someone else.
No,
well, I suggest to you, Jack, the Z6, the 2002 Z6 $49,000 Corvette. Have fun, my friend. 51.8 loaded, according to my young friend, Mr. Taylor. Or, if you'd like, and that, by the way, has 405 horsepower, 0 to 60 in under 4 seconds. That is the 2002 Z6 Corvette, $49,000. Have fun, and if you guys like me, you got kids, well, I don't know, you can do whatever the hell you want to do. I can't buy that car. You don't buy, well, you got four kids, you don't buy a freaking two-seater sports car. You don't do it. Well, just have your wife go buy an SUV. Yeah, theoretically that works. But it can't always be the kids sit in the SUV, you know. Sometimes you're the guy that gets stuck with them. Sometimes you're the guy that's got to go pick people up. Sometimes you're the guy that's got to go and, you know, retrieve somebody from school. And she's got the other car because she's off someplace else. You can't do it. I had a friend of mine had a Corvette, and he had three daughters. Well, he could stick one in the seat next to him, and then he had to cram the other two in the luggage space, you know, that kind of hatchback that the Corvette's got. And they'd have to lay down flat on their stomachs. This is how he picked his kids up from school. You know, his poor kids. Not that the kids loved it. You know, they thought it was fun, but it's... Okay, everybody want to make like their golf clubs again? Yay! All right, just lay in flat. That's it. And you get to be the spare tire today. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
The first ever Phil Hendry Show listener party coming up February 22nd to the 24th at the Las Vegas Hilton. You'll get VIP check-in. You will be able to take advantage of a surprise gift pack. You'll receive 3 days and two nights for two people, gambling, match, and play. You know how that works. $10, you bet. You get $10 from the casino, plus two-for-one tickets to see Sheena Easton, two free tickets to the Star Trek experience right there at the Hilton, a Park Place Entertainment coupon book valued at over $1,000, two-for-one entry to the Las Vegas Hilton's luxurious spa, and separate VIP check-in, all for just, check this out, $379 plus tax based on double occupancy. Oh, my God. What a price. What a price. Join us for our first ever Phil Hendry Show listening party the weekend of February 22nd to the 24th in Las Vegas at the Las Vegas Hilton. For reservations, please call 1-888-445-8844. 1-888-445-8844. Ask for the Phil Hendry package. Let's go to Trinity. Hi, Trinity. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I was just calling about the 97 Neons that the guy talked about.
Yeah.
And it's true, because I own a 97 Neon, and my head gasket broke.
Yeah.
It didn't even have 50,000 miles on the car. But, I mean, you should get a warranty when you buy a car, because obviously if there's going to be something wrong with it, it's going to happen within the first 100,000 miles.
Well, didn't you have a warranty? Didn't you have a warranty?
Oh, yeah, I had a warranty. It cost me $50 instead of $800.
The warranty cost you $50?
No, the warranty when I went to get my car.
Oh, well, absolutely. So, yeah, yeah. Well, what I guess what he was saying, are you saying that he was bitching about the expense or just the fact that the car has a faulty part?
Well, yeah, well, actually, I think it was just the faulty part he was talking about, but I mean...
You should get bumper to bumper on your car for at least 50,000 miles. Listen,
well,
to this.
I
sound
I
like it's Car Talk with Phil Hendry. Well, that's right, Trinity. 50, or maybe I should say... Oh, that's right, Trinity. You should get 50,000 miles and bumper-to-bumper coverage, all right? But you, what I would do if I were you is I'd talk to my mechanic and make sure that the oil spring isn't loose. I think you find that you've got a timing gear that's out and probably the rod has shifted, all right, dear?
Okay,
you thanks,
thanks
for calling. All right, all happy trails to you. Put it into 10th gear. Let the good times roll. All right, this is Car Talk with Ass Johnson. I'm Ass, and you give us a call here. And another thing I don't do, and I know a lot of you call and say, hey, Ass, can you tell me a little bit about my Nissan? Well, I don't talk about no Jap car, all right? Now, that's just, I got no racial thing going on, but no Jap car, no Jap car talk on this program. I will not do it. I lost several friends in World War II. I had a friend of mine walk into a sushi bar in Tokyo and take out, well, I don't want to say, but he had a hand grenade. Anyway, so we will not talk Jap car talk at all. You want Jap car talk? You can go that click and clack. Those two, they'll talk Jap car talk all the time, all the morning, noon, and night, all day long till the cow come home. Word up. Sure, the cat finishes out with word up. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Eric. Eric, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
How you doing?
Hi, how you doing, man?
Good.
Good.
Hey, I've got a Carson in my field called a Hugo.
Well, now that's not a bad car. It's just a cheap car, right?
Yeah, real cheap. $3,000 brand new.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And the thing don't fall apart, do it?
No, I'm selling it.
How'd you like me saying it don't fall apart, do it?
Yeah.
You're selling it?
Yeah, $200.
Because you can't get laid driving for something like that? Well, I can understand.
And it comes with a free roll of toilet paper.
Well, happy trails there, Eric. Bug off. Let's go over here to Sam on the Phil Hendry Show. Sam?
Oh, hi. How are you?
How you doing, brother?
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about the experience with British cars that I had. I started out with a Triumph Spitfire like you did, and that was like back when I was 18 years old, back
right.
in the 70s and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Well, a couple of years ago, I've always owned weird cars, and a couple of years ago, the place where I get my mufflers done, had a Rover SD1 for sale.
Oh, my God, that British Rover?
Well, not a Land Rover.
It Range Rover.
No, not a Range Rover, a Rover Rover. It was like a four-door sports car.
Oh,
it
yeah?
The, yeah, it had the General Motors aluminum V8 and a five-speed and rear-wheel drive and hatchback. And, you know, it was, I think it was 1981. And I figured that, you know, the state-of-the-art being what it was back in the 60s when the Spitfire was made, I mean, it had to have improved by the 80s.
And that's why you bought a Rover. Okay, that makes sense. What? What do you mean Spitfire and I bought a Rover and had to improve? I'm moving on, brother. Venus, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, hi. Hey, Phil.
Venus, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Are you white?
Yes.
Okay. It's a white girl named Venus. Okay,
well,
you win.
Well, my mother's from Italy, so it's kind of common.
No, it's a beautiful name. It's a beautiful name.
Thank
Are you a stripper?
No.
Never mind. I'm kidding. Go ahead, Venus.
Okay, the worst car I have ever owned was a Saturn SL2. It was a 96. At 18,000 miles, everything started to go wrong with it. I traded it in at 32,000. It had been in the shop about 15 times for different things.
Wow, a Saturn. Jeez.
A Saturn. And I pity the person who ever got that car.
Wow. And, of course, you had no problem selling it to him, though, did you?
No,
well, you know,
I traded it in.
I that's the first time I heard that about Saturn, but...
Yeah.
Are those the guys that make the electric car? They are.
GM, actually.
GM makes the electric car? Well, who? And GM owns Saturn? All right, here's the story with that EV1. I want to get that. But you wouldn't believe, at least the Saturn dealer that I went into, and I don't want to say where, but it was in Thousand Oaks, and I went in there, and you would have thought I was asking the guy, can you tell me where I can find the tomb of Tutankhamun? Well, that's a very secret thing, you see. I mean, I might have been asking this cat, can you just go ahead and give me the key to Fort Knox? Where's the Holy Grail, brother? Well, you understand, the guy who knows him, I can't go into it right now. Well, no, I'm talking about the EV1. I test drove those electric cars. They're sweet. You talk about quick. That thing, 0 to 60, I think, is like under 4 seconds, too. Like, I swear to God, man, it's fast. Now, it's got a range of about 80 miles on the battery, which means you can only commute in town in it. You're not going to be taking it on any big road trips. And I think they lease it out at about $370 a month. But the upside is that it's a statement on the whole, Arab oil thing, ain't it? Or does it take more Arab oil to produce the electricity that powers the Saturn than it would ordinarily that you would use in your car? See, that's the whole thing. People say, use electric cars. Yes, but the Arab oil that it took to power the electric plant to create the electricity that I now put into my EV1, I may be giving them even more money. I'm just trying to find ways desperately to take that bread away from them and give it back to us, and they can drown in their freaking oil as far as I'm concerned. I'm so tired of them. Tired of looking at them, tired of hearing about them, tired of reading about them, everything. I don't mind reading about that goat ball those guys are playing over there, though. That looks like fun. All right, our number, 1-800-449-8686. But more importantly, here's the number I want you to remember, 1-888-445-8844 for your Phil Henry Party Package, February 22nd to the 24th at the Las Vegas Hilton.